welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of May 26th. I am your co-host, Michael Saley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and summerific Melissa Hansen.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Memorial Day. It's summer now.
That's right.
Storms and clouds and 60 degrees in Texas.
Really? It's that cold?
Yeah, it was actually this morning when I got up, it was like colder here than Chicago, like by 10 degrees kind of thing. So.
Yeah, we had a beautiful weekend here. It was in the 70s, upper 70s, and sunshine, so...
Yeah, it was a nice weekend, but yeah, Memorial Day. Rain!
Oh boy. Did you manage to squeeze in some entertainment this past week?
I did. This weekend, I went and saw Chef.
Ooh, that's the Jon Favreau movie.
Yeah, Jon Favreau's write, direct, act, star, the whole deal. It's his film.
Oh, is this fat Jon Favreau, or is it healthy Jon Favreau?
Yeah, it's pretty heavy.
Okay.
Yeah, he's still pretty heavy. I know. I don't think he's as big as he once was, but he's still pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, which they actually talk about in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because his ex, and this is when it's kind of like, it's a Hollywood movie for sure, even though it's a smaller one.
Yeah.
Because Sofia Vergara plays his ex-wife. Yeah.
Nice.
Who I really, really liked her in this. I mean, I like her in Modern Family.
Yeah.
Like, she's fun, and I like the character, but I really liked her in this. Amazing cast. John Leguizamo co-stars. And then, of course, he gets Scarlett Johansson in it and Robert Downey Jr. in it.
Nice.
And Amy Sedaris, who was in Elf.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah, so he gets some of the actors he's worked with and are friends with to do it. But, yeah, smaller one, it's about... Okay, and here's the thing. We were debating what movie to go to.
Yeah.
And I had heard about this and, was getting really good reviews. But I read, the description and it was like, It's like the word. Like, there's no way to describe this that makes it sound as good as it is.
Oh.
Like, on IMDb, the summary is, a chef who loses his restaurant job starts up a food truck in an effort to reclaim his creative promise while piecing back together his estranged family. No, it's not. It's beautiful. It's lovely. It's so funny. It's, sweet and meaningful, but it's hysterically funny too.
Nice.
I'm a fan of Favreau, and I'm just so happy to see him acting again. I forgot what a good actor he actually is.
Yeah, he is.
That was funny.
Yeah.
His face. Oh my gosh. I mean, he's such a good actor because you just see it all in his eyes.
Yeah.
Really sweet, fun movie. It's kind of more about him and his son.
Okay.
That relationship is, I don't know, whatever, 10-year-old something son. What is it rated? I think it might be PG, but there's definitely some language and stuff in there, and I think kids would be like bored with it. Mm-hmm. It's a movie about a family, but it's not like a family movie.
Gotcha.
But no, it's so nice to see him acting again and writing.
Good.
Or not just doing the big blockbusters.
Yeah, I think he kind of burned out on that, which is why he kind of took a back seat.
Yeah. This is the kind of stuff I love that he did. I mean, as much as I loved Iron Man, which he directed, but I love this small, sweet, funny stuff.
Nice.
That he does. So, yeah, this gets a big, thumbs up.
Cool.
From me.
Well, my past week has been bursting with entertainment. I got to go to New York for the first time, which was an experience in and of itself, and I was amazed. I mean, having grown up in Chicago, I'm used to a big city, and then lived for years on the beach in California, but I was amazed at how comfortable I was just wandering around the city at all hours of day and night, and I stayed on Manhattan, saw two shows, James Franco and Chris O'Dowd in Of Mice and Men, which, my disdain for James Franco.
Right.
And Franco,
I made up for it, right?
Oh my God, he was phenomenal. I mean, I have seen this show how many times on how many different levels in terms of quality and performance and, college productions and high school productions and all this kind of stuff. So I know the script very well.
Mm-hmm.
But O'Dowd, what he did with Lenny was just absolutely beautiful. He was this slow man-child, almost special needs to the point, but he had all these layers, which was so beautiful to just watch. And in this small, the Long Acre Theater is a small kind of, if you're familiar with the Chicago Schubert Theater, it's very narrow and goes straight up.
Okay.
None of the actors are mic'd, which is great, because you get that true theatrical experience. And Anna Shapiro, who is one of the primary directors at Steppenwolf, and you and I have seen a lot of her shows, did this beautifully. It was a Steppenwolf show. From the set design to the intimacy of it, it was that type of experience, and they just nailed it. Now, Franco starts very angry, and he has nowhere to go with it.
Yep.
And that's the problem with playing George that way. The rest of the cast is very good. Leighton Meester from mm-hmm. Gossip Girl. She's a TV actress, or a film actress. Her projection was very soft. At times mm-hmm. it was hard to hear her. She did a nice job with it. It's subtle. There's not a lot to that character, but she did a nice job.
There's moments to find.
Well, and her death was very... I mean, I've seen the character's death done in many different ways, mm-hmm. but this was so quick and so... I'm like, you're almost like, what just happened?
They didn't. Yeah. You never got to see me do it, though.
No, I know.
Robbed that.
Yep. Yes, you were.
Promise that scene and robbed!
Yep. I'm glad you've gotten past it, though.
Okay, sorry. We'll move on.
But it was a good show. It's well worth seeing. We got half-price tickets at the last minute. We were not going to go see another show because we were going to get tickets to go see Seth Meyers do his show. And we were in standby, and it was just like, all right, they came out and released everybody because the theater was full. I'm like, all right, yeah. We're just going to go and check. And we had the last two tickets to see this show. So it was well worth it. The other show I saw was one that Mac had talked about on Filibuster probably about 2 years ago. I think it was 2012, was Sleep No More.
Yeah.
And
which is like, not just theater.
No.
It's art.
It's an immersive experience. And do you remember Universal... used to, I think the first year we went to Universal Hollywood, they had this Universal Monsters thing, exhibit. We thought it was just, you went and they were going to, do dedication. And then it turned out to be like a haunted house, where you walk in and there's all these dark hallways and you can't see anything. You have to feel yourself against the wall.
But there was just like Six Flags.
Was that Six Flags?
Yeah.
I thought it was Universal. Anyways, whatever. That shit pushes my buttons. I can't handle that kind of stuff. So... they call it the McKittrick Hotel, but it's really three old nightclubs in Chelsea that they completely gutted and built this six-floor hotel, quote-unquote, which are basically all these open rooms inside of there. There's 100 different rooms in there.
And
there's no guidebook, there's no anything. So you walk in. It's like waiting for a club. You're in this big, long line. They have like four different entry periods to make sure that everybody gets in smoothly so you're not just rushing everybody at the same time. You're ushered into this long, dark hallway that then starts snaking around in the dark. And I'm like, oh, fuck, if people are going to start grabbing me and shit like this, I'm not going to pay $85 to do that shit. So I think what it is they want to unnerve you right from the start. Because then you walk into this lobby of a hotel, pseudo hotel, where they check you in and give you a room key, which is basically a playing card, which has a number or a face value on it. And then you go into this bar, and it's all set in the era is 1939.
Oh, okay.
It's all period. So it's jazz. All the characters are in period. All the music, the atmosphere, everything is all 1939. And then they start bringing you in a unique way, because if you come with people, they are going to split you up.
Oh.
The idea is they want you to have an individual experience. So you're not going with a group of people.
This just sounds like slightly my nightmare.
I know. Well, and this is what I was feeling, too. And it was pushing my buttons. And I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to get through this. And it turned out to be fantastic. So they take you in small groups according to the number of your playing card. And that's how they break you up. You are given a mask, a Venetian, Mardi Gras type mask that covers your face. You have to leave it on the entire time. There is no talking whatsoever.
Okay.
The actors don't even deliver lines so much as it's more of grunts and groans. And there's very little dialogue that's issued throughout this. So you get in this elevator, a la Tower of Terror kind of thing, and they let you off on floors. But they'll stop and they'll let three people off, and then they'll stop and let one person off. And I hung towards the back, and there were me and another guy were let off at the basement. And you wander around this hotel.
Sounds like a horror movie.
It does sound like a horror movie. And because you have no idea what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
So you're wandering around these different rooms, and actors will show up in different places. And there's very, very much horror elements, because you walk into a room that's filled with bathtubs, or you walk into a psych ward with padded rooms.
I'm starting a panic attack listening to this.
And I wound up in a ballroom that was filled with huge evergreen trees. And this woman comes out and she starts dancing. She's dressed like a ballerina. She starts dancing and pulling these trees, which are on wheels, and pulls them away to each side of the room. And you'll see, I mean, there's other audience members that start gathering around when things start happening. But people are spread out on all these different floors, so not everybody's seeing the same thing at the same time. So she pulls all these trees to the outside, and then all of a sudden the music, and this is what I have to say, the music and the lights are impressive.
Yeah. So yeah, it make it or break it.
It's like industrial type trance music. Like you're in a club, like a nightclub. So it flies in the face of the 1930s. But then when a scene develops, it shifts like automatically into this eerie 1930s music.
This is horrible.
And the lights.
I'm nauseous. Like, I'm seriously nauseous.
And the lights change. And all of a sudden, all these characters dressed out in period costume come out and start dancing with each other. Oh. Like a big, you know, hotel dance floor. Mm-hmm. The story, the underlying story is supposed to be Macbeth, Shakespeare's Scottish play. So you're trying to piece together who these characters are.
Oh my God.
In that framework. And then Macri shows up on the balcony overlooking down, and you see how the people react to him. It was fascinating. And then what happens is you can either explore the hotel on your own,
mm-hmm.
And you touch everything. You open doors, you open drawers, you open closets, and explore. You have free reign to touch everything, except the actors. You cannot touch the actors. Right. But it's very voyeuristic, and you can either split off, they call it searchers, so you're searching the hotel, or you're a tailor, where you're actually tailing one of these characters as they split off in different directions.
Oh, gotcha.
And what happens is it's designed so that even if you want to follow Macbeth or Lady Macbeth, the characters cross paths in hallways and stairwells and everything, and that people get together and they crunch up, and you lose sight of your character.
Mm-hmm.
So it would drive you crazy because you're like, I wanted to see where she was going, and then I couldn't see her because she disappeared. Mm-hmm. And they disappear into back doorways and doorways you can't go through. And there's cast members who have black masks that keep you from going up certain areas at certain times. It was so bizarre. This is 3 hours of this. And you're following these characters. There's a Hitchcock. The Hitchcock's Rebecca, I guess, has a subplot that overlays some of this. So there was this girl with the suitcase that I wound up following. And there was a handful of us that wound up in her bedroom as like her hotel room. And then they closed the door behind us. So it was just like the six of us and her as we're watching this story develop. Okay. And then she opens up and she disappears into her closet. And we follow her through this closet, through this secret doorway into this other room that was filled with coffins. And
okay, you need to wrap this up because I'm getting lightheaded.
Sorry. Sorry. But it gets so bizarre. I mean, and this is not for the faint of heart. You are running all over the place.
Like me.
You are, it definitely takes you out of your comfort zone. But after a while, you kind of click into this because you're trying to put the pieces together in your own head of how this story goes. At one point, I wound up in this, there was a whole bunch of us that wound up in this rave, which the three witches were hosting. And they got naked, like full on naked and slathered with blood and gave birth. And this guy put on this ram's head. And then you wind up going into, and 1 point, four of us wound up in a bathroom watching a guy taking a shower. It's the most bizarre experience I've ever had. And yet I'm completely fascinated by how, from an acting perspective and from a production, how they pull this off. It sells out every night. They're only dark on Mondays. It's $85 a pop, and people keep going back to experience this again.
Ridiculous.
It was so bizarre and so fascinating. It started in London back in 2003. It was a production company that did it there, and then they have done variations, and they've done different storylines, and then they brought it to New York. It's just, it is one of the most unique theatrical experience I have ever had, and I'm still, my brain is still kind of chewing on it. There's websites and Facebook pages devoted to it, so I know I've talked enough about it.
Boy, like, y'all have been had.
Whew. Wow.
I invited my friends over to walk around, and we charged $85.
It's more than that. It's just, it's so immersive and so fascinating. I'm just, yeah. Anyways, so that was my, and then I, you know, went around and we stumbled across them shooting Sesame Street on Fifth Avenue.
Oh my God, why didn't you open with this?
I don't know.
Forget the stupid walk around some fake hotel shit. Tell me about Big Bird.
It wasn't Big Bird. There were smaller puppets. Okay. There were Muppets that I didn't recognize.
Okay.
And they were shooting in the rain, so they had it all tarped up.
This is the good part.
Wandered all through Central Park from north to south and everything in between. Meredith Vieira was shooting something at the base of Rockefeller Center, which one day was a restaurant when I was there, and the next day it was this entire film shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Bush was hosting Access Hollywood with the winners from Dancing with the Stars. It's a city that, honestly, they say it's a city that doesn't sleep, and it's true, because you could be in Times Square at 1:30 in the morning, and there are just as many people there as there are in 1:30 in the afternoon.
Right.
The subway's constantly busy. It was Fleet Week, so all of the Navy and the Marines were, their ships and aircraft carriers were docked, and they were in town for the week. It was just, it's an amazing, amazing city. I was floored. So I definitely have to go back there, and if I get the opportunity, I think I'm going to go live for a couple years out there just to experience it and do some theater and see. Yeah. So anyways, that was my experience this past week. Okay. Now that we've wasted half of the show talking.
Well, everybody else had a different experience.
Yep.
They went and saw X-Men.
Actually, I saw it last night. I'm not going to give my review. I'll hold it till like next week.
Okay. So yeah, y'all went and saw that, which of course, $111 million. On the holiday weekend. And then Godzilla came in second with $39 million, blended with 18.
Neighbors
with 17, and Amazing Spider-Man with 10.
Again, Adam Sandler, if you want him to stop making movies, you got to stop giving him money.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Next week at the box office, only two movies of note. Maleficent, Disney's live action remake of Sleeping Beauty, which, of course, they've been promoting it for now 2 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Huge billboard in Times Square running the trailer all the time. Mm-hmm. And then Seth MacFarlane's A Million Ways to Die in the West, which is basically the 21st century version of Blazing Saddles.
Yep.
If you are not going to the movies or going to New York to see shows, on DVD and Blu-ray this week, we've got Wes Anderson's Life Aquatic on Blu-ray. From Criterion, and the same thing with Red River, Howard Hawks and John Wayne's, one of the finest westerns ever created, that arrives on Blu-ray from Criterion this week. The cult classic horror movie Sleepaway Camp, which is best known for its twist ending, arrives on Blu-ray from Shout Factory this week. The remake of Endless Love with Alex Pettifer. Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
That guy has about all the charisma of a piece of cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Bob Newhart show, the very original 1970s classic, right. Complete series, also from Shout Factory this week. On Redbox, we've got Vampire Academy, which is the teen vampire Harry Potter thing. Devil's Due, which is about the woman who's pregnant with Satan's child. The remake of Gambit with Colin Firth. Monuments Men, with George Clooney, and then they brought back Ted for Seth MacFarlane fans who didn't see it the first time. So that's available at Redbox this week.
All right.
Over at Netflix, it's the last week of the month, which usually means they're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel for things. George Romero documentary called Birth of a Legend, the Nightmare on Elm Street documentary called Never Sleep Again, ESPN's 30 for 30 doc, Bad Boys, and then Kelsey Grammer's short-lived Chicago series, Boss, is available on Netflix this week.
Okay.
And then over at Hulu, was so bizarre. Hulu is like a crapshoot. Cheech and Chong's Things Are Tough All Over. So if you like old stoner comedies from the late 70s, early 80s. Boa versus Python. If you don't get enough of Godzilla, you can watch monsters fight each other in bad CGI. The Ryan White Story with a very young Lucas Haas. Is available on Hulu this week. And then Maria Bello and Stephen Dorff in Carjacked.
That's an interesting pairing.
No. Okay, that's all I've got for physical and streaming media.
Okay, well, this week on TV, oh man, so much reality. So much reality!
Oh boy, so much.
Monday, American Ninja Warrior is back.
Yay!
On NBC, and MasterChef back on Fox. And then Lifetime, do you remember?
What?
They made Flowers in the Attic.
Oh yeah.
That aired like maybe 2 months ago, yeah. Right? And it got such huge ratings.
Yep.
Monday night, Petals in the Wind is going to be on. They went, already shot the next one.
Jesus. Oh, God.
So, I have a feeling that is not going to do quite as well.
Wow.
But we'll see. Maybe it'll do good enough. They'll keep going.
Okay.
Tuesday, back to reality. Extreme Weight Loss is back on ABC for the summer. And America's Got Talent on NBC. New show on NBC, Night Shift. It's a night shift, doctors and nurses, hospital kind of stuff. And then also the Will Wheaton Project on Sci-Fi. So fans of his are definitely going to tune into that. Okay. Wednesday nights, it's finale of Growing Up Fisher on NBC, but then it's the World Music Awards.
What?
Yeah, it's a whole world. How exciting. So You Think You Can Dance is back on Fox. Thursday, new sitcom called Undateable on NBC.
That sounds like a winner.
Yeah. Friday. Okay, ready for this? Yeah, talking winners. Friday on NBC, new show called Crossbones.
Yeah.
John Malkovich is Blackbeard.
Oh, you know what? And you know who else is in that? Because I saw the trailer playing over and over in Times Square. Richard Coyle from Coupling.
Oh.
Jeff.
Yeah.
Plays the other male lead.
Okay. So, yeah, this is not getting good reviews.
No, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. That's Malkovich. I'm sorry. I think he kind of sucks.
We've seen him on stage, too, and it's just, I don't know.
It's not a character.
No.
I will say that. Yeah. Hold up. Okay, Saturday night, reality, Bet on Your Baby is back.
What?
It's this whole, like, literally, like, bet on your baby, like, to do stuff on stage. Ridiculous. Okay, Sing Your Face Off is back, is on ABC. But Saturday night, HBO, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame ceremony.
It usually has some good performances.
Yeah, yeah, it's really. So, and they've got, like, Nirvana's in.
Yeah.
So they have all these amazing female singers, like, singing with the rest of the band. Sunday, new show on AMC called Halt and Catch Fire. It stars Lee Pace. It's like an 80s computer thrillery thing.
He's a good actor.
Yeah, I really like him. So, let's see. This Week in Music, Neil Young, new one called Letter Home. And then, like, this isn't so full of yourself. Mariah Carey, me. I am Mariah. All right, then. Kiss 40.
What?
It's an anthology, 2-CD anthology, spanning 73 to 2013.
Holy shit.
One track off of every album.
Wow.
The live stuff. And then some unreleased stuff and a booklet and the whole deal. So if you're, yeah.
They are performing, I think, this week at the Hard Rock in Times Square. There was a big ad for it.
Okay. All right. Let's see. And then Rocky, that Broadway cast recording.
Oh, yeah.
Is out, and Maleficent, the soundtrack to that, and that's James Newton Howard. Probably soundtracky bands.
Okay.
Books this week, Joseph Finder's Suspicion is out. And then those of you who like all those, like, real-life cute dog books.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the cat version. It's actually the second one. It's James Bowen, The World According to Bob, The Further Adventures of One Man and His Streetwise Cat. This one, I just like the title. Adam Rogers, Proof, The Science of Booze.
Oh, jeez. That's
so a nice title. Yeah. Scientists or Alcoholics, that one's for you.
There you go.
And then Dave Berg, Behind the Curtain, An Insider's View of Jay Leno's Tonight Show. And he worked behind the scenes. number of years.
Yeah.
On that,
wow.
I mentioned Kristen Chenoweth
recently
back to Broadway. Well, she's going to be doubly back.
Yep.
She is going to star in I Am Harvey Milk.
Ooh.
It's a New York premiere. It's going to be a one-night thing.
Oh, my God.
It's going to play Lincoln Center one night, October 6th.
Wow.
And, like, with orchestra and 120-member All-Star Broadway Men's Chorus.
Yeah.
Yeah, so big one-night event, October 6th. Yeah, fans of Kristen Chenoweth are going to check that one out.
Wow. It's amazing because there's so much going on in the theater scene in New York. I tried to get Neil Patrick Harris Hedwig tickets.
Oh, yeah.
They're sold out through early August. Tickets available. I tried to go see Denzel Washington and Raisin in the Sun.
Mm-hmm.
They had a handful of seats left, $250 to $300 a piece.
Yep.
Bryan Cranston's show was not available at the half-price tickets. And it's just like, at Chicago, Alan Cumming in Chicago, also not available. Or not Chicago.
Cabaret.
And Cabaret, also not available.
Yeah.
So, and there's a ton of stuff, just not necessarily everything you want to see.
Right.
Entertainment news this week. Marvel fans, the shakeups over there are making people nervous. Edgar Wright has left the director's chair for Ant-Man, and Drew Goddard has done the same on the Netflix original series Daredevil. Both cited creative differences, which is leading people to speculate that Disney is tightening its grip on their comic book cash cow. James Gunn, whose quirky Guardians of the Galaxy arrives in August, posted an update on his Facebook page to say, "Sometimes you have friends in a relationship. You love each of them dearly as individuals and think they're amazing people. But little by little, you realize, at heart, they aren't meant to be together. Not because there's anything wrong with either of them, but they just don't have personalities that mesh in a comfortable way. Not everyone belongs in a relationship."
Hello.
So, that's from someone who is a very quirky director, a very unique style, and would not necessarily mesh with a big-budget blockbuster. But he was given the reins for this one, and we'll see how it does.
All right.
Alfonso Cuarón has put the kibosh on speculation that he will be directing J.K. Rowling's Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, stating he wants his next project to be something that has little or no visual effects, which is pretty much all Gravity was.
Right.
Yeah. He needs a break. Pixar has released details about its next film called Inside Out. I think 2014 is the only year that Pixar has not Pixar has released a film every year since they started, since Toy Story in 2014 is the only year that's not, that they don't have one, but they have two coming out in 2015. This one got pushed back because they needed to retool it. So Inside Out focuses on a young girl whose family moves from a small Midwest town to San Francisco, where her conflicted emotional reaction to the change kind of takes center stage. And her emotions are embodied inside her... What was it? There was a... Was it Epcot that had the... The thing where you'd go inside and sit inside the kid's head and the emotions and stuff would kind of take over. There was
something.
Military guy and like Command Central was inside the brain.
Right.
So this is something similar. So the emotions are played. Joy is Amy Poehler. Fear is Bill Hader. Anger is Lewis Black.
Of course.
Disgust is Mindy Kaling.
Nice.
And sadness is the office's Phyllis Smith.
Aww.
So this comes from Up and Monsters, Inc. director Pete Docter, and it will be out in June 2015.
Okay.
The Oscar race is already heating up with Steve Carell's atypical performance in the movie Foxcatcher, which wowed audience at the Cannes Film Festival last week. Netflix their latest original series may just be an extension of David Wayne's cult classic Wet Hot American Summer, which profiles the wacky life of counselors at an upstate New York summer camp in the early 80s.
Yes.
Yeah, it was such a great movie.
Yeah.
Quentin Tarantino is considered turning his unused footage from Django Unchained into a four-part miniseries for television.
What did he shoot?
I don't know.
Jeez Louise.
And then in a segment I'm going to start calling Useless Celebrity News.
Okay.
Christina Ricci is pregnant with her first child. Emma Watson graduated from Brown University.
Mm.
Christine Baranski's husband, actor Matthew Coles, was a longtime villain on All My Children, has passed away at the age of 69.
Aww.
And Rachel Bilson is pregnant with the child of longtime on-again, off-again boyfriend Hayden Christensen.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. All right. That's all I got.
Okay.
I know you have a wedding to talk about.
Yeah, I got a wedding to talk about, whatever. Stuff. So they partied in Paris. They actually got married in Italy. Kanye went on for like a 20-minute toast all about himself.
Of course he did.
But to me, the big news
was,
guess who ended up not being there?
Who? Bruce.
Rob.
Why?
Because he flew home the morning of the wedding.
Yeah.
Supposedly because they wanted all these family pictures.
Yeah.
And he's so fat, he didn't want to be in them. he's really heavy. It's sad. That'd be making fun of him because he's fat.
Yes.
It's obvious he's a very unhappy person.
Oh, my God.
He's just really had a difficult point, and it's, you know. Yeah, wow. He's not a happy person, obviously.
Hey, I don't like pictures of myself right now either, but I'm not going to leave a family wedding because of it.
So that's the story. TMZ has, like, you know, footage of him arriving back. But, yeah, he left. He was there all set for the wedding, and he left, went to the airport, got a ticket to L.A., came home before the wedding happened.
Well, let's face it. He's probably got another 2 or 3 chances to see Kim get married, so.
Yeah. I know. He was, like, at the first two.
Yeah.
Who the hell cares about the third one?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and there'll probably be more, so. Yeah,
I'm sure there will be.
Whatever.
All right. Do we have a contest this week?
We do.
Yes.
It's called Beyond the Trophy, and it's a cops and gangs, an L.A. and Vegas thing.
Okay.
But, dude, it stars Michael Madsen and Eric Roberts.
Oh, jeez.
Does it get better than that?
Uh-huh.
Oh, like, right. Michael Madsen, is like a gang guy, and Eric Roberts is like a policeman after him? Oh, sweet. No, so that's our giveaway this week.
All right.
The DVD of that.
Well, thank you guys, as always, for tuning in. Thank you for reading our reviews at DVDverdict.com, for listening to our podcasts at DVDverdictPresents.com, and for reading our news at DailyVerdict.com, which will eventually become the new home for DVD Verdict as we start transitioning all of our content over. So keep an eye out for that. Until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
There's no greater power than the power of goodbye.